What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times. This is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. They has caffeine, L-theanine, vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory and focus. I like to chew it really all the time. Whenever I'm driving around showing houses, making phone calls, you know, working on whatever. Or if I ever need a little boost on my way to the gym, I'll pop a piece of NeuroGum and it kind of gets me to where I need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Also, and guest today, but shout out to Captain Beard Co. for sponsoring the show. They have amazing products made from all natural ingredients. Anything to keep your beard looking good. And they've also got body wash. And can we make the announcement on the?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So we got a shampoo and conditioner now. So all their stuff smells amazing. And they also make unbelievably smelling candles. So we'll go ahead and get this thing lit. Go.
Get the studio smelling good.
Oh, there we
good.
Go. Get that studio smelling amazing. Like I always said.
I'm glad it's burning well, man.
Yeah. It's good. It smells amazing. Like I said, all the stuff that smells good and makes your girlfriend want to kiss you. So.
Yeah. And before we get started on the show, you know, if anybody's watching, I'm sure you can tell that we are a newer podcast, you know, don't have quite the biggest audience in the world, but we are trying to grow it. So one of the nicest things you can do for us is share the show with a friend. You know, if you have watched an episode, gotten something out of it, or, you know, just think it's something that you can relate to or you're something that you really enjoyed, send it to a friend that you think would enjoy it, too. That's the nicest thing you can do for us is share the show for us. And if you're not already subscribed, please click that subscribe button for us. We'd really appreciate it. And now to introduce our good friend, Gabe, the CEO of Captain Beard Company. Yeah, welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me again, man.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you, man.
Now we kind of cut short the last time. I know we were diving into a bunch of different things, so glad to have you back.
Yeah, no, thanks again for having me. And yeah, we can dive deeper into the business and
perfect.
Else.
Well, let's start. What's new? What's going on since the last time we had you?
Well, you just mentioned it, man. The shampoo and conditioner is kind of a big deal for me. It's something that when we originally came out with beard products, everyone was just like, okay, that's great. But like, you have a dandruff, you have something, you know, so it's a big issue in the male community. It's just, how can we tackle it? So this has actually taken probably like a good 6 months of research and making sure that we have the right ingredients in there. And so with shampoo and conditioner, I didn't want to have any fragrance oils or anything like that. I just want to have everything as organic as possible. So, you know, we came out with basically a peppermint, rosemary, tea tree oil blend as far as the fragrance goes. But yeah, in there, it's going to be as good as I can make it. Honestly, it's been working very, very well. I'm really excited about that and helping out and just kind of get rid of that dandruff and start, you know, growing thicker hair.
Yeah, I've definitely got an issue with the dandruff, so. Man enough to admit it.
Yeah. Try out the tester and let me know how you go.
I will for sure. I'm gonna use it tonight.
Yeah. Excited. Yeah, the stuff's amazing. You know, I've been using the beard butter, and then obviously the body wash. It smells so good.
Like which scent?
The teak wood.
Okay, so you're okay. So I brought the right ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so my cool. Favorite's the Coastal Drift. Yeah. Pat likes the Mahogany.
Brought you a re-up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it. No, and my boys, they're like, Dad, I want the blue soap. I want the blue soap. I'm like, you got it, guys. Yeah. I'm like, well, it's kind of more on the darker side, but not blue. But they're like,
oh, because yeah, in your hand it's blue. Oh,
I'm like, yeah, guys.
Well, I was like, this one's blue, but I don't think you have that one yet. But I was like, I get it now because it's like a dark color.
Yeah, dark
hand.
Color. Yeah. They're like, Dad, I want the dark one. I want the dark one. I'm like, you got it. Go get it.
Dude, the coolest part about that is that, like, I remember on the last show, which is, again, listening to it last night, we talked about, like, very yin-yang, right? Mm-hmm. Like, life is very yin-yang. And the process of making the body wash is kind of the same way. Because when we combine, like, the castile soap with all the other oils and then you combine it with the activated charcoal, it's basically black and white combining together. And that's where you come out with, like, that dark gray.
It looks good. It smells amazing.
But, dude, that process is just kind of, like, it just... You know, brings back those things to me and kind of puts me back in perspective as far as, you know, what we're doing and how we're doing.
Yes. But, so, and this is something that I have no idea. So, like, what's the difference? Like, I know obviously you have the body washes, but like, what's the difference between like I don't know what I'm trying to say here. The difference between making a body wash and the difference between making that and a like a shampoo and conditioner, like as far as ingredients goes, like what's the
process is similar. With the body wash, we wanted to keep it as minimal as possible as far as ingredients go. So with that, it's really just castile soap, fractionated coconut oil for more hydration. We also have jojoba oil in there that's really going to help with bringing everything in. So jojoba oil is very similar to your skin sebum.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, so your skin brings out natural oils.
Okay. Right?
So that's called sebum.
Sebum,
yeah. It's okay. It's just your natural oils that your skin basically, yeah. And so with that process, I was like, okay, if we can figure out a way to get an oil in there as well, be able to basically go deeper into the body, right? And so, like, it's more about absorption than anything else. So that's why that's in there. And overall, it's just a great moisturizer. And then activated charcoal is going to be a detox. You know, it's going to get rid of all the odor. It's going to get rid of any debris or anything like that. And then again, castile soap is 100% organic, so it's going to be super strong as well. So that's a little bit different. It's a lot more simpler. For the scalp, I mean, you're talking pH levels. You're talking certain ingredients that are going to be very inflammatory if you throw them in there. So you have to work it a little bit different. I didn't want to go too deep into it where it's like activated charcoal for everything. That can really strip a little too much for the hair. So for that, it was really targeting DHT, DHT blocking ingredients like saw palmetto. Have a few in here. I mean, for this one, we basically have like 13 ingredients compared to like 5.
Mm.
It's very different. You know,
a little more complex.
But still, yeah, 13 ingredients oil. Is like, yeah, I mean, nothing when it comes to.
Well, and then like, all that you can actually products. Say, like it, yes. It's not, you know, stuff in there well, then, that you can't also, pronounce.
Right. And all the things that you're talking about, it goes back to like 3-in-1 or 2-in-1 conditioner and shampoo, 3-in-1 body wash, conditioner, shampoo. Like obviously, Each thing is targeting something specific. So
how do you,
there's no way that you can have a quality product and combine all three.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, our body wash, I personally was using it a little bit as like a 3-in-1 for a little while.
Oh yeah. I've done it.
Yeah. And it works all right. It's just, it's not going to go deep into like the DHT block that you need to grow a thicker hair and get rid of the dandruff. And so, you know, that's kind of taking that next step, with antifungal and antibacterial properties of, you know, the tea tree oil, and rosemary oil, and peppermint. That's really going to be able to strip away any dirt, any debris that you have that causes the bacteria to grow for the dandruff. So if you can get rid of that, then dandruff is low to no. Just
gotcha. And the conditioner, that just strengthens and health,
yeah, so
makes your hair healthier, right?
The base on it is actually going to be aloe vera juice. So it's more hydrating than anything else. Going to give you some volume and stuff like that, but yeah. And then, obviously, the rest of the oils that we just spoke about.
Yeah. If you look at any other shampoo, conditioner, any other, like, grooming product, no matter what it is, you look at the back, like, the ingredient label, and it has, like, just, it looks like a periodic table or something. Like, it's just a bunch of stuff that you can't even pronounce.
Yeah, I don't know if we covered it last time, but the big thing that you see is, like, alcohols and sodium. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So even if it's all natural, you typically see a sodium as a thickening agent. And what ends up happening is the sodium itself creates, you know, dry skin. So it's kind of counterproductive in that sense.
Yeah. Well, you said something a couple of times. You said something about could potentially help with hair loss. And I've wondered, because I have not been I grew up every single time I ever showered when I was like a kid through probably like college. I used to wash my hair every single time with like, you know, these chemicals and you want, I've always wondered, like, what is all these chemicals and all of our soaps and stuff? I wonder how that has affected our like species. Like, I wonder how that's like, because I mean, something we're seeing a lot more of is I feel like men are losing their hair more than we have in the past. And I'd love to see like a correlation graph for like when we started using like all these chemicals in all of our soap products and then like men's hair loss. I'd love to like see a graph of those two things lined up, and curious like, If as the chemicals were introduced, like, did men's hair loss go up? I don't know. I'd love to know.
I'm not sure on that perspective. I don't know if any specific studies have been made on it. But what I will say is there's an exact correlation between testosterone and seed oils, if you look at that. And so I think around the 50s and 60s, that's where you kind of start seeing male testosterone go down. You start seeing seed oils being more frequently. And to me, there was a correlation there.
Sure.
Aside from, you know, any of the other things that we're putting in our body.
Yeah, well, the seed oils, I mean, they're originally, like, that was the, how did it get introduced? But, I mean, it's pretty much just the same stuff you'd, like, put in the lubricate engines.
Right.
And stuff. And it's, if you look at all of our food labels now, it's in
everything.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah.
look for, you see canola oil, you see, which is, canola oil is actually rapeseed oil. And right. Like rapeseed oil is, I mean, it's literally what they use for like engines and stuff. Mm-hmm.
We're putting this into our body.
Yeah. I mean, you look at
it. If it's good for an engine, wouldn't it be good for us? Right.
Right. I'm a fucking engine baby.
Right.
No, but it's horrible. So, I mean, yeah, I watched that Rogan podcast recently with Casey and, or was it Casey Means and.
Yeah. Was it the two doctors?
Yes, dude. Yeah. Dude,
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I heard it's amazing.
I've been sending it to everybody and like everybody in my family. I was like, I know you guys don't normally listen to this podcast like I do, but like.
There's one. This is it.
This is it. And like, it really, like, it's funny. My dad is like kind of gone down this rabbit hole and I love it. He's like reading the real Anthony Fauci book and all these, like, he's like, you know, we had this whole conversation about COVID the other day and like, I was just like, well, you know, cause I'm the only person probably on both sides of my family that didn't get the shot. And it was just something that we were chatting about the other day and, you know, and they were saying like how they believe it's affected their health. And it's crazy to hear that from my dad. Cause that's just not typically what I would have ever heard from him in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's like these podcasts are really kind of opening up people's eyes to like the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry, like all these kind of things that are super fucked up that we've been dealing with for like the last unknowingly for the last right. several decades. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, just, Rocky talked about it. It's like the FDA is trying to get their hands on everything.
Mm-hmm.
The
BPC 157.
Yeah. You know, they're trying to regulate that. Well, because they want to make money on it.
Yeah.
And I think podcasts and stuff like that, like you said, are the new form of news.
Well, yeah. If you look at big podcasts like Rogan, like Tucker, like, I mean, even like, I mean, Call Her Daddy, like all these numbers have way bigger numbers than any major new, like mainstream news organization. And it's funny when it's just crazy that is now, that's where you can really go to kind of find out what's truly going on because there's no financial influence from all these other pharmaceuticals, FDA, all these big three letter organizations.
And I think that's a problem, right? We go on, you know, on the news and we think we're supposed to be getting the truth or at least their version of it, and it's just skewed so far from reality that it just doesn't build trust, it doesn't build all these things. And I think that's really where podcasts are coming in and dominating.
I mean, look at the lawsuit going on with 60 Minutes right now.
What's going on there?
So they are notorious for basically they'll do their interviews, they'll tape their interviews, and then they'll go back and edit and cut it,
yep,
and splice it together to where it makes like right now there's a big thing about they want to have 60 Minutes release Kamala's most recent interview because they're saying that they spliced
it. Is it changing content? Like,
yeah,
the context of it?
Changing the context of it and the way, like, yeah. So, like, basically.
Or if she said something stupid, they cut it out.
Well, they cut it out, or they if she says something, that they'll basically they'll cut it, splice it in somewhere where it actually makes sense. It doesn't always make sense with what she's saying.
Oh, I did not know about that.
Yeah. Oh, no, they got, I guess, I was reading an article, was it 60 Minutes UK or something like that? They lost a big lawsuit because of it. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
No.
Yeah. The problem is, like, she never answers the question.
No, she dances around it.
Like, everything is always bounced around.
From the middle class.
Right, or throwing, you know, the ideology of it. It's like, that's great. The idea is great. You have great ideas. How are you going to actually implement them?
Right. Like, you're there now, too. That's
like, you're telling people what they want to hear, but are you actually going to do anything about it?
Right. I mean, it's the proof's in the pudding. She's in office, technically. I mean, that's the crazy part is we really don't even know kind of what's going on right now. Like, who's really running the country right now?
My guess was always Obama, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's just me. Conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. I mean, I can go down some rabbit holes, but dude, it's It's just crazy.
Recently, he came out with a statement basically saying everything that's going on in North Carolina and all that, and how
who did? Obama?
Obama, yeah, and basically backing Harris and saying that everything Trump has done is useless to a certain extent, and it wasn't true, and hoping he's not doing all these things. Like, well, he's actually the only one on the ground floor that opened up his hotels for people.
Yeah, he's there physically, and which I
Kamala
think
didn't
says
get there till two, where you give away $750 that you have to pay back. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it definitely doesn't. I saw something recently that was like, all right, next time your taxes are due, just tell them, just give them $750 and tell
them
it's
a loan. It's not even given free. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's a slap in the face. But yeah, we're giving billions away. It's just
those poor people, man. I mean, it's just crazy. They got hit with like two of them back to back.
Yeah,
awful.
I saw my girls. Like, I really hope they're all insured. That's the only thing that's gonna help you right now.
But that's
point.
And that's
even
the
then,
other thing is
they
like,
might fight that.
Yeah, I was gonna say like how I wanted, because I mean this is just something I want to know. Like, how are these insurance companies supposed to pay for all this stuff? Like, when all this happens at once, I know that's why we pay insurance.
Where do you think our premiums are gonna go?
Everyone else is going to pay for it.
Everyone's making these payments. Yeah, that's why premiums go up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, being on the mortgage side, I've got really good connections with insurance agents. And I've talked about this with them. And so, like, during COVID, you saw premiums drop because no one was on the road. So, less accidents. There just wasn't a lot happening and all that stuff. So, so insurance premiums drop. And so now, we're out of all that. People are back on the road, more accidents. We've got all these big storms that are coming through causing major destruction. And that's just jacking up prices and jacking up and you got the cost of repairs and to rebuild these things, like all of that labor costs are up, supplies, all that stuff is up. So now they have to increase the cost. Like, they got to make that money up. And so they do that by increasing premiums.
Fuck.
And the crazy part is too, it doesn't stop there. It's the same thing. Like, when you go and you donate, so you go to a grocery store. Like, or do you want to donate here?
Yeah.
The store itself already, they already donated. All you're doing is paying them back.
Right.
Well, you're going to donate. Don't.
Yeah, I never do that.
Make the people pay.
I never round up.
It's like Goodwill. Donate everything to Goodwill, and then they turn around and sell it. They get it for free.
Right.
And then they sell it.
And then they sell it. They're making a 100% profit on it.
Yeah. They're just like, they're just
they're the middleman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or the storefront for your bolt for
that
your
to me,
shit that you don't want.
Right. But that to me makes a little more sense of like, let's make this a business. If you want to shop, you can shop. You don't have to.
Right.
Yeah. Because you got like, what's the other one? Salvation Army.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think they do that. I think they
give
straight donation and they just give it away.
Yeah.
Right. And so I believe someone here, you can buy too. But either way, like the point is like, you don't, every time you go to a grocery store, you're going to ask to donate. It's like, guys,
right.
What are you guys doing? What are we paying you for?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel like it's a little more unethical than, you know, Salvation Army or Goodwill. One of those things that you can sell forward. You can do it yourself on Facebook Market. You have so many ways to do it now yourself. Mm-hmm. You have so much more control. But if you go in there and donating, you expect them to sell it forward. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just kind of the game. And I don't know, these, you know, you start going to Taco Bell or any of these chain restaurants, everyone wants to
donate
something.
Yeah,
it's just like
a little kiosk. Yeah. Yeah,
do you want to round up for Ronald McDonald?
Yeah.
No.
Right. And everything, you know, everything's getting so much more expensive. It's like, guys, like on top of that.
Bro, how many things do you go to? Like, I was at Bread Company yesterday. I went in there. I had like an hour to kill and I was going to use some Wi-Fi. And like, even there, that, you know, they flipped the little thing around for the tip. It's like, even Bread, you know, it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, I grew up in the, you know, I spent 10 years in the restaurant industry and like, I worked my fucking ass off for tips. And like the fact that some person can just like stand at the register and flip the thing around and expect a tip. And it's like, tip is like for the effort in it. It's like, it's for people that are not making a regular hourly wage too. Right. Like when I was a server, I was making like $3.50 an hour, but you know, after tips and everything, if you broke it down per hour, I was making anywhere between $20 and $30 an hour on good nights. Right. And but you know, that $3 an hour is not, you know, you can't live off of that. But right. The people at these places like Bread Company and stuff, I know that they're fuck, it probably says it on the sign out front, now hiring $18 an hour or whatever it is. Right. And so it's like, those are not supposed to be tipped positions.
You're starting to see just way more greed in the businesses.
And it's like, have you guys seen that, like the video or GIF or what video parody or whatever, where someone was like, oh, hey, they turn around a tip and the person pulls out his phone.
Does it right back to him. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's getting a little out of hand. Cause I mean, trust me, I am all for, and I fucking tip, I'm bitching about it right now, but I hit tip almost every time, unless if someone who's like a complete asshole to me. And at like a normal kiosk, even if somebody's waiting on me, like they have to like insult my mother before I don't give them a 20% tip.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like the standard. I always give at least 20%. And if you exceed my expectations, I'll give you a lot. I'll give you more than that. But like, it's just these positions where, or these like food chains and whatever it is. Now everybody asks for a tip. Just right. Like, fuck, when did this get turned into this?
Yeah. COVID.
COVID. Yeah. I mean, cause I guess I want to say it started because everything started.
Deliveries
and to-goes,
yeah.
Which are, you know, I always tip on to-go orders. Not, me you know, too. I don't tip. I wouldn't say I tip as
20%.
Much. Yeah, I don't tip 20%. It's always like $5 or like, yeah, you know, depending on what the expense of the order, or, you know, how expensive the order is. But it's definitely usually not 20% on a to-go order. And I mean, I guess that made sense in COVID because everybody was looking out for these people working in restaurants. And
well, you know, that became the standard. That's the problem.
Yeah, but now it's just set in stone. Like, we never go backwards.
Right. And you know, to like, your point, like
we have to take our shoes off at the plane. You know, like we don't, when we get on a plane, we, you know, because one guy bombed his shoes, that means now that's what we do every time. Right. Like we never get those rights back. Once they're taken from us, it's a fucking slippery slope. That's why they take an inch, they're going to take a mile. So it's like, you got to fucking put your foot down.
Yeah, dude. And that's a big reason for me. That's why, you know, I try to go small business as much as possible and local grocery stores and stuff like that. And, you know, with them, I'll do my part. But when it comes to big chain business, I'm like, guys, like,
I'm the same.
You're eating people, what we just talked about, the oils, like, can't avoid them these days if you go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I recently found out that Buffalo Wild Wings is tallow. And I was like, oh, really? Shit, that's going to be my new spot now. Like,
really?
Yeah. Huh. And it's just like, what option do I have?
Now, do they do tallow in their fryers?
Or? Yeah.
Really?
Burgers, fries, everything.
Oh, I like that.
So I was super impressed. I was like, okay, like, I don't mind backing a chain if they're doing it right.
Yeah. You know? No, 100%. No, I did not know that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, dude, there's a significant difference. Like, I love cooking with beef tallow. There's a it just tastes good. I mean, it smells good. You know, it's,
been on bacon fat recently.
Yeah, bacon fat. I mean, dude, I just love like cooking with like straight animal fats is just, man, I always say bacon grease.
There's an app actually.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
What is it? Scout?
I saw that. Yeah. I've not downloaded it, but it came across my Instagram recently. I was like, ooh, that's a good one.
It's called Sea Scout, Seed Oil Scout. So and it basically gives you a premise of like all the restaurants in your area that have seed oils or don't have seed oils. And you can just download it and see what restaurants kind of fit align with what you want and get rid of all the processed oils.
There's this other app that you can scan shit. I saw it this morning. I remember it was on somebody's story here. Let me pull that up.
Gives you kind of an index of nutrition.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was, it's gone now, I think.
This is going a little
while. Oh, here it is, right. Called.
Gotta bring butter.
What are we gonna do?
I'll bring you guys a cutter so you can maintain this.
Oh, okay. Cut it like, do you keep it low?
Yeah, try to keep it low so it kind of gets rid of that that black smoke.
The name of this app, but there's this app where you can scan shit and you figure out like it gives it like a grade. Gina's got it. And see. Yucca, that's what it is. Yeah.
But, Yucca?
Yucca. Y-U-K-A. Yeah, but you can like scan, you basically like scan the barcode or whatever, and it gives it like a grade on like what, depending on like the bullshit in it. So it's like good for, like Gina got it, so if you can like scan shit at the grocery store, like, ooh, let's see if this is this is something good for me to feed the kids.
Right. And some of them will have like alkanized, like it'll tell you like how good of a product it is as far as.
Right, yeah. I think this thing, like, I'm pretty sure if I remember right, it gives it, like, a grade, which I think is cool, you know, because there's, you know, there's some stuff in there that's fucking horrible, you know, but then there's, like, okay, well, this one's got
Just a little off for a second.
That's cool.
Just kind of. Yeah, just want to cut that.
See that? Cut what?
That black wick.
Oh, the black wick. Okay.
Yeah. I'll bring you guys a cutter.
Cool. Sweet.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just, there's a lot going on right now in society. And, what we talked about last time I was on, it's like, how can we help? That this is our way of doing it. You know, we looked into, different studies that have been done on Old Spice and all these things. And bro, the amount of toxic stuff in there, the amount of testosterone damaging ingredients that are in there is crazy.
Mm. Oh,
people don't see it. People don't understand what's going on. And if you just bring a little more awareness to it, you'll see that huge difference. You know, how I look at it is like, if you can minimize the ingredients, your body doesn't have to fight off, and especially make them all organic or as natural as possible, your body doesn't have to fight off all these things. And then now you have a stronger immune system because of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things, man, like if you can just figure out a way to minimize your ingredients, what you're taking in, what you're putting on your body, you're going to feel 10x better.
For sure. No, I recently started using a natural deodorant.
What brand?
Mando.
Okay.
Mando.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
I've gone through two sticks at this point, and it's expensive for deodorant compared to what, but like, right. If I got to spend, $8 more than the shit I was using, and it's going to make,
Yeah.
I'll spend that all day.
I guess organic agreement. Like the biggest thing that came out recently was like the no aluminum.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no aluminum.
Yep.
I use Everyman Jack
deodorant. Yeah.
They've got the no aluminum, but I haven't actually looked into anything else that's in there.
Just so they typically have baking soda in there as well.
Yeah.
Baking soda is a really good like detox or as far as that goes, but not everybody can withstand it. You know, certain skins are a little more sensitive to others. So probiotics and things like that have also been kind of studied. I don't know if you've looked into Native.
No.
Native has two variations. One of them that has no baking soda at all and no aluminum, and then one that has no aluminum. Depending on what strength you need, you can kind of go that route. We also have a friend of ours at Tallow Skin Co.
That's what I was going to bring up, yeah.
Yeah, and she uses different variations of ingredients, but baking soda is one of them as well, activated charcoal and a few other things as well.
Yeah, so we were bringing a beef tallow. I was like, oh, but I know
Murph uses
that stuff, and I was, I'd love to try some, so maybe I'll buy some of that next.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Are you guys thinking about coming out with any deodorants?
I mean, my big thing was a shampoo and conditioner. You know, I think we just had the request from everyone, and it's just like, okay, let's get to that part. Let's get to what people actually are looking for.
Well, that's a broader customer base, because everybody uses shampoo and conditioner for the most part. Like, not everybody grows a beard,
right?
Or like,
Yeah, I mean, this is really like the first step in us taking and going deeper into. I mean, I guess the body wash was, but going deeper into the grooming space, not just men's beard care.
Yeah. Because that's a pretty niche thing, especially guys that, grow their beard, that maintain it and sculpt it and kind of like make it look nice.
I think the next step for us is going to be more on the shaving side, right? Like, how can we actually maintain the beard properly? And so, razors, things like that are more on the regular basis that most people use. I think that's going to be next. And then to your point, I want to tackle deodorant and toothpaste. That's going to be the big ones.
Yeah. Oh, deodorant, toothpaste. I like that too.
I think once we have that, I think we'll be good for a little while. It's just
for sure.
Growing the apparel brand. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Oh, apparel. Yeah. That's, dude, I love the hat. Yeah. I wear the hat. I mean, that's like one of my favorite hats. I wear the one you're wearing right now. I wear it all the
everywhere.
Time.
Everybody asks, what's the hat? I'm like, Captain Beard Co.
my son goes, he says it's my Calvin hat. He says it's a C for Calvin. So that's my son's name. So, yeah. So he always, C for Calvin.
Yeah, dude, it's one of those things that's really cool. I recently just went back to Rhode Island, and I got compliments there, and asked quite. I'm like, what's a great conversation starter?
For sure,
like it's, and it's a pro America feel that like not everyone who comes up to you is gonna be that way, but like the people who ask and are, those are your people.
That's what's great about just having just the C, because it doesn't. Kind of the psychology behind marketing. It's going to get people to ask questions like, what's that stand for? Like, there's no other branding or anything on there other than that. And it's just like, oh yeah, this is my buddy's company, Captain Beard Co. You got a beard. Yeah. Check out his stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So, now we can say they got shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I mean, it's going to be dropping this Friday, which I don't know when this will go live, but.
This will come out Thursday next week.
Okay, so, perfect. Yeah. So it'll be out by then. But yeah, dude, I'm excited. I'm just waiting on the labels. I recently got a new guy for designs and the labels. So he was able to get us, you know, basically a 24-hour turnaround on it, which is awesome.
Sweet. Well, I saw you posted the other day something about how you came up with the color.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's cool. I like
sponsored
that.
Sponsored by Porsche. Yeah.
They know that?
No, they don't know that yet. But no, my brother's really big into Porsches and GT3 RSs, and he kept sending me these cars and stuff. And randomly, he sends me a post saying, "Hey, this is like color for men," and I'm like, "Hold on, I've seen this color before." And so I started looking into the Porsches, and that's where like that specific green, came into play. And I was like, "Well, badass. We need something else. I don't want to do just white." I was just doing white prior to that. And I was like, yeah, we already have a white logo with the Coastal Drift. So I was like, we got to change it up and do something a little different. And with it being like a literally like a cooling sensation because of the peppermint.
Yeah.
We felt it was right just to go in that sand blue to me, what's called Newport blue, which is Newport, Rhode Island. That's where I'm from. Right. So from that area. So I was like, let's bring some of that into it. And that kind of all played super well with it. This is actually the first one that doesn't have like our slogan, but it has like more of like a logo on it, kind of a play on that supplements that you're just talking about.
Yeah.
And the protein shakes and stuff. And I was like, okay, let's throw something in there that'll work. Yeah, man, I think it came out really cool.
And we were talking about how much we like L-theanine.
Oh, yeah.
My
200 milligrams a day.
Yeah, that's what I'm at. Yeah, I've been taking 4. That's because that's what these bad boys have in it. And I was like, man, these two of my favorite products are, you know, that I consume a lot of is this NeuroGum and then these new tonics. They're not energy drinks, they're productivity drinks.
They taste 120 milligrams of caffeine. You're doing all right. Yeah.
But they're not like a Rain or a Monster that has 300. Right. So, but it's got a bunch of other great nootropics in here.
It's just a cool logo.
Cool logo. And I'm a big fan of both the guys that run the company. So
yeah, their shit's
fun. Dude, they're great. Chris Williamson's like one of my favorite podcasts. And then James Smith is fucking hilarious.
He's awesome. His stuff on social media.
Yeah, he's awesome. And he's like, I think he's a jiu-jitsu brown belt. Yeah. I mean, you look at him, he's got cauliflower ear and stuff. But yeah, he's also like a person. He just like basically just talks shit on all these fitness influencers and like how they like do their marketing and stuff. It's like tries to be, you know, just like makes fun of that. But I mean, that's what he does. Yeah, so but he's like makes fun of the influencers that do the stupid bullshit.
If you're looking for a funny follow, he's pretty funny. He puts a lot of good content out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the L-theanine. I saw you post that the other day, and I was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna start taking that every morning with this, you know, small pharmacy I consume."
Yeah. Dude, that and 5-MTHFR, I think it's called.
What
basically
is that?
called the motherfucker gene. So basically, if you suffer from anxiety or depression, your body can't convert B12 properly into folic acid, and so this supplement is just straight up folic acid in its purest form. So it's going to right into the body. And so if you take that for like a week or two, your anxiety, depression, gone.
Really?
Yeah. So, dude, I've been on that and it's just like,
really?
Yeah, mentally, I haven't been better than I am right now, especially on TRT as well. Well,
I just, that was another thing we were just talking about. We all got on the juice.
Yeah.
So, me and Pat are, you know, a little pretty new to it, but, you know, I'm starting to, I think I'm really starting to kind of feel it a little bit. Like, I'm feeling great.
Biggest thing for me is I'm not feeling that major crash that I used to have at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'm feeling just like more energized, more like motivated lately. I feel like I'm just like a little more mentally sharper. And so now it's also like the fact that I've been, you know, we talked about it on the last episode or one of our last episodes, you know, I've gotten a lot more into my morning routine recently. And I think that's also like right around the same time I got on the TRT. So I'm like, I don't know if that just having a better routine and being more like systematized with my mornings is also just like starting my days on a much better foot.
Yeah, but, and by the way, it doesn't have to be complex either for those people that have, you know, don't have that much time.
No.
You know, we talked about my morning routine last time. I was just like, God, it's super simple. Like, I literally just get ready.
Yeah.
That's my morning routine. And, like, make sure I have some coffee in me and I'm good to go.
Right. You don't have to fucking cold plunge, you know, go sun your asshole and go meditate for 45 minutes. Right. Like, no, you can just...
you make the bed, brush your teeth.
That's it.
But just something that starts your day and you're kind of doing the same thing every day and it like kind of reminds you. But I think what has been huge for me is not being waking up and being reactive. Like I wake up and I'm immediately proactive. Like I'm starting to do things because what I was finding was I was waking up and and just like waking up to chaos with two kids, you know, and it's like
you're playing defense all day long,
100%,
and you're not able to actually move forward.
Yeah, and it's like there's all these things that I wanted to try to get done, and it just never happens when, you know, when you're trying to get two little humans out of bed and fed and dressed and changed and. Yeah. We started potty training this week, and it's been a...
How'd that go? He's just running around naked?
Dude, he's been doing... Yes. Yeah, we did that all weekend. That's the best way. Dude, I mean, he's pooped on the potty multiple times. He's only had, like, two accidents, and that's it. I mean, other than that, he's peed on the toilet, you know, dozens of times at this point, and I think he only pooped, like, twice. But, yeah, he's been doing great. We're proud of him. He's killing it.
That's awesome. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Strip them down. Give them that chance to pee in their pants.
Right. No, it makes sense. Yeah, because we did it for about 2 days, and then yesterday we switched to just, like, him going commando, like, in his whatever shorts he's wearing. And it's just because, like, apparently Gina's, like, reading all into this, and it's, like, the sensation of having that, like, tightness up against you know, you feel like you're comfortable to piss and shit your pants. And I guess when you don't have, you know, the less you have kind of constricting you there, the like more aware you, I guess you are of it. So it makes sense completely. But yeah, he's doing great. And it's just been funny, you know, just hearing like just the other day, like in Home Depot, you know, I got to go pot, you know, and like him telling us, like, oh shit, working, you know,
he's
figuring it out.
Just wait. It'll get old real quick. It's Dad, I got to go pot. All right. Come back and doing what you're doing. Well, 5 minutes later, Dad, I gotta go potty.
He's realized that he's already gaming the system at bedtime. Oh, you know, talks because he knows that we can see him in the camera on the wall, and he'll like
delaying bedtime.
You know, mommy, I gotta go potty. You know, like she was just in there 3 minutes ago and going with him. You know, so it's it's just his reason for her to come back. It's been like, you little fucker.
How old is he now?
Two and a half.
Dude, it's gonna get worse. Uh-huh. terrible threes, the fours,
threes,
sometimes even fives can
threes,
be a little.
Threes were the worst for me. Yeah. That with both boys. Twos, everybody was like, terrible twos. I'm like, fuck that. Threes were worse. Like two, they're still learning about their emotions and trying to, like, they don't have any control of that.
Right.
By three, like, they know enough. They know enough, and they know, so now they're like doing it on purpose. Like, like, I know, I see it.
Yeah.
You know? Told you not to do that. You did it anyway. That was okay when you were two. Not acceptable now when you're three.
Right. Yeah. Calvin's at that stage right now. Or I mean, like at least with me, he's so different with me and Gina. It's crazy. And one thing I just realized, and I studied psychology in college, so like a lot of the stuff that I learned in there, like I'm like kind of recalling now, and I'm like, if there's this. Hold on, I pulled it up earlier because I was like, Gina, this is what he does. It's the. Oh, how do you say that? It's opius, or I looked up how to pronounce it earlier. Epidemus complex, where the boy unconsciously desires his mother and sees his father as a rival for her affection, leading toward feelings of jealousy and hostility toward his father. Calvin does this for sure, it's every day. If Gina and I are just having a conversation about fucking whatever,
interrupts it.
He's constantly like, no, I'm talking to her, you know, she needs to talk to me. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's got to be what that is.
Yeah.
The fact that she's like talking to me and not paying attention to him for a second. He's I was like, oh, this is him for sure. And he's definitely a mama's boy for sure.
Both Connor and Oliver, they are obsessed with Melissa.
Yeah. I think it's just little boys. Yeah,
it's just the thing. I mean, you got a good mom. If you got a good mother, that's awesome. Like.
Cool. For sure.
So yeah. They'll grow out of that, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You guys around.
For sure. Yeah. 100%. That's kind of how I'm seeing it. I was like, once he gets a little older and starts, like,
going into sports and
gets
other
into
things,
whatever,
it's going to be dad all the time.
For sure. Well, I'm definitely, like, he goes to me for fun. Yeah. You know, like, we wrestle, I throw him across, you know, throw him onto the bed, and we, you know, we roughhouse and play trains and trucks, and, you know, we go scooter to, you know, he scooters, I skateboard.
It's so important to just kind of be active, man, and have that balance, because it's just, you don't really realize it, but 10, 20 years down the road, like, there's a lot of traumas that comes behind not being that person.
Sure.
So, yeah, man, I've seen that, you know, hands-on myself, just like, when I moved out to the States, it was really just my stepdad, but my dad really wasn't around too much. It was just a phone call once a month. It wasn't a very hands-on approach. And me and my stepdad got really close because of baseball.
Mm.
Once I got rid of baseball, it was just kind of like, I'm going to high school and do my own thing. And I got very, very separated from that because, you know, he kind of knew, like, to a certain extent, he's like, I have some fathership here, but not as much as, you know,
Sure.
And, you know, those conversations we've had where it's just like, well, I wish I would have been a little more active in your life because your dad really wasn't. So, you know, things happen, man. But as long as you guys are active with your kids, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I have a buddy out, I remember Ryan, that I recently saw, and his kids, I believe, are 6 and 7. And they go to, like, gymnastics together. He has a boy and a girl. And he's always, him and his girl has always been gymnastics. They did cheerleading together. Like, it's just, they're crazy. Just flipping on everywhere. Like, it's just their thing, right? And the kids kind of took on to that. And one of the teachers is like, hey, like, you know, do you guys want to go to a Taylor Swift concert and do this and that? They're like, yeah, no, not doing that. Like, the little kid. And that was just, when I realized that, I was like, okay. Now I have to have kids. Because, like, that's so cool to be able to have your kids kind of, like, look at the world the way you do. And, like, no BS. Like if you ask those kids, like, hey, like, what do you think about the presidency? What's going on right now? They'll tell you everything.
Really?
Dude, they're one of, like, the most badass kids. And to me, I was just like, okay, like, I want that. Like, because it's cool to see, like, part of you kind of go into those kids and be a form of you. I don't know how. It's such a weird thing to explain and to see, you know, as they evolve too, you know?
Oh, yeah. Because you want to put the best of yourselves into them. You right. Always want to, you're always like, I want to be better than my father was. And exactly. So I want my kids to be better than I am. So you're like trying to
right.
Put the best of your characteristics into them. It is. It's fun and neat to see how that works.
Yeah, man. It's cool just seeing your kids grow up to being little badasses.
Oh,
you
dude.
Know?
It's weird seeing it's some dominating. Stuff that, like, you'll see things of, that you like, you'll see like little pieces of you in them.
Mm.
Like, he'll like make a face or something. You're like, oh, that's fucking me, you know, or whatever. I was like, oh man, that was the way he scrunched his forehead and made his forehead wrinkle like this. I was like, oh, that's me, you know, like just like weird, like little things like that. Whoa. Cause like, I have a hard time with I don't know if you guys do as well, but I have a really hard time with the people that like look at a baby and they're like, oh, he looks just like whoever. I have such a hard time. I don't know if it's my brain that I just can't comprehend. Like, I guess I kind of looks like that person, but I guess some people I feel like see that more than others.
Yeah, I mean,
well, say like your kids, for instance. Like, I look, I see it with them, but like, I don't know if I would have seen it as
like babies.
Like baby, like people that have babies, like will like look at that, but like. But now that they're older, yeah, you know,
you got to compare baby picture to baby picture.
Right.
Like, I look at Oliver and I'm like, oh, that's you. And then I look at Connor and he looks just like Melissa.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and that's the thing. It was like when they were babies, yeah. Connor, and that's the thing was like, I had to see baby pictures of Melissa to be like, okay, yeah, Connor looks exactly like Melissa.
Right.
And then obviously, having seen my own baby pictures and then seeing Oliver as a baby, I'm like, holy shit, that's me.
Right. Oh, yeah,
and,
for sure.
And, you know, and as they've gotten older and grown and all that, it just, more and more.
Like, I've never even seen the baby pictures of you, but I look at Oliver and I'm like, oh,
now,
for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
Oliver is mini me to a T.
100%.
Built like me, just acts like me, just everything. Connor looks exactly like me. So I don't know how Melissa was as a little kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's fiery just like she is.
Yeah.
And so, not in a bad way, Melissa. Fiery can be good. but yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy how they do, but like to a T. Like, you look at Melissa's pictures when she was Connor's age, even with like the hair, everything to a T.
Yeah.
And then Oliver's got my hair. He's got that long, thick, brown, great hair, and you know he's got, looks, again, build wise. Like, that's the other crazy thing. Like, Connor's built like Melissa, tall and lean. Oliver's more like me. He's not as tall as Connor, but he's thicker. And trying to watching him, we have to buy. He's like me. Got to buy bigger sized pants,
husky clothes,
pants to fit his booty. He's got a little dump truck on him. It's funny because Connor called like, "Hey, what up, dump truck?"
He calls him dump truck.
That's hilarious.
So funny, dude! I can't wait till like I can start hearing my kids like talk to each other and just like hearing like walking in on those conversations. I'm pumped for that.
Oh, it's too funny.
It's hilarious. It's just like just hearing Calvin talk.
Since we're on the topic, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys a question because I haven't hit that part of my manhood journey yet as far as being a father. But what's the one thing that you feel like has changed or flipped? Like, is there a switch that flipped? Is there something that you feel like, hey, like now there's a certain level of urgency that I didn't have before? Like, is there something like within you, not just like physically what you have to do, your responsibilities, but like physically, mentally, like, is there something that you feel is just night and day different now?
when Calvin was first born, I like specifically remember this like moment. We were still in the hospital. I think he was a day or two old, and I just like broke down fucking crying. I'm not a crier. Gina's probably seen, we've been together for like 14 years. She's probably seen me cry three times.
Yeah.
Like I'm not like a particularly like emotional person at all. Like it takes a lot to get me like worked up and cry. Like I probably cried at both my grandpa's funerals and then like when fucking Calvin was born, honestly. Right. And yeah, it was just this moment. Like we were in the hospital. He was like in the NICU, which is like, he was only there for like less than 48 hours. So this was in that time. And I was like, I had just went down there and held him for like an hour because Gina was still recovering from the C-section, so she couldn't go down there. Sure. So I was like, I would like go down there like every couple hours and FaceTime her so she could see him. And I just like on my way up in the elevator, just broke down crying like a baby. And I was like, what? I have never felt like this level of emotion before. Mm. And like this like it was like a combination of like, man, I've never like loved something so much. And I've also like, I've never felt so vulnerable and I just had never felt that before. And it's just like overwhelming.
It's like scared all at the same
time.
Yeah.
I was like scared, excited, like what the fuck are we like? I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. Like, but yet I love this little thing so much. Like I would, you know, I'd do anything in the world, like no matter what it was, I'd do anything in the world for him. And I never felt that way about anything before. And, so like that is just kind of like that feeling has just like grown. And then you have another one. You're like, cause that was another fear is like when we had Theo, you know, he's only 4 months old. I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to love anything as much as I love Calvin. And then, you know, he comes into the world and I'm like, oh, this little guy melts my heart too. Mm. And it's the craziest thing. So, I mean, that would be, and that's the biggest like moment. And like, it's changed like how I view the world.
Perspective completely.
Huh? For sure. 100%. Because it's like, it makes you realize that everybody was that small at one point.
Mm.
You're like, oh man, everybody was a baby. This guy that over here, that's this asshole that I ran into and in the story was like
someone took care
of
him. Someone
exactly
time
like, who and, fucked and, him up.
You know,
like somebody, that too, but. You know, yeah, that too. It's like he, you know, you're just a sum of all your life experiences. And so it's just like, that's all these life experiences. And that's, you could turn into that. Or you turn into like the nicest person in the world. It like made me just kind of view everything a little differently.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What about you, Pat?
For me, the biggest thing was like patience.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I had all of the same things that Zach had, but a little bit on a different tangent. But patience, like again, learning, just continuing to tell myself like they're little kids, like they don't understand this, like. You can't sit there and get mad at them for something that they don't know yet. My job is to teach them. So like, instead of going from, you know, and leading by example. So, you know, patience in the sense like, hey, be patient with them. They still have to learn. But in the sense like, hey, I'm a teacher now and everything that I do, they're going to be following. And I think the coolest thing so far is like, we wake up every morning, go to the gym in the apartment complex and they work out with me.
That's about it.
Melissa did it when she lived in the apartment, all this stuff. And so that's the thing that her, like we're leading by example. And I constantly in the back of my head, I'm thinking now, like instead before, like four kids, I'm just like going on about my life. But now it's like, all right, am I doing something that my kids would be proud of? Like to be proud to say like, that's my dad. Like that's the biggest thing for me was like any decision that I make is like, is this something that my kids would be proud of me for? You know, am I proud of myself, but ultimately at the same time, like when my kids are older and they look at back at who their dad was, is that something that they would be proud of? Right. And, you know, there's a lot of times that things that came up or things that I, you know, was thinking about doing or didn't do or, you know, dating wise or things and stuff like that, like where it's like, yeah, I don't know if my kids would necessarily be proud of that. Hell, I mean, that was one of the big reasons for the divorce. I mean, I did not want my kids to learn like that's how a relationship should be. You know, Melissa and I are both very open about, you know, how things went bad with our relationship. And we just didn't do the things that we needed to do as a married couple to fill each other's cups. And I didn't want my kids to see that. she didn't want her kids. Like, she didn't want them to see that. Like, we were fighting and all that. And we like,
you're better off both of you being happy.
Exactly. And we wanted them to see like what it was for each of us to be happy. Right. And we weren't happy in that marriage. And so we decided like, hey, yeah, this is what we're going to do. This is going to be best for us. And ultimately what's going to be best for these boys. Now they get to see a good relationship between their mother and I. They get to see their mother in a very happy relationship with someone that loves her way more than her and I loved each other. And then, you know, when that time comes for me, they're going to get to see that on my side. So they're getting three examples of that. And that's ultimately everything that I think about.
And not just that, but they're possibly getting two parents out of that too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's the thing too. And you mentioned this about your stepdad. This is something that, you know, I got to give kudos to Dalton about. And you know, I'm not in that boat. I'm not dating anybody with kids or anything like that. Dalton's Melissa's boyfriend.
Got it.
And, you know, him and I have sat down multiple times and we have conversations. We communicate like, hey, how do we want to raise these kids? And I think that's ultimately, if you're in a divorce situation with kids or you're dating somebody that has kids, have that conversation with the father.
Right.
Father, be open to have that conversation. There's so much like hate and hostility that comes through.
It's a lot of
divorce.
Ego.
Yeah. It's a lot of ego. Put that shit aside. My ego has been beat up enough. Like I know how to put that aside. So it was, and Dalton same, like he's new to this. He stepped in when the kids were already 2 and 3 years old. So he's learning on the fly and he's doing a hell of a job with it. And I couldn't be happier that he's there when I'm not, because we are on the same page about what we want and how we want to raise these boys. And Melissa's done a good job with it as well. So it's like, and if I were to step into a situation where I'm dating somebody with kids, I want to meet their father and I want to sit down and have that conversation with their father. So we can be on the same page about how we're going to
just consistent.
Yeah. So they're hearing the same thing from me that it is from you. And, you know, there may be times where there's different philosophies and that again, I would have to put my ego aside to accept like, hey, this is how he's doing it and how maybe learn and maybe switch up how I'm doing things with my kids. Like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing is it's just all about communication and being able to put that ego aside and have that discussion and have those conversations that is ultimately going to help, again, everything for these kids.
And I mean, you're giving him credit too, but you have to give yourself credit to some extent, right? Because you're also learning the fly. It's like, he is. You know, it's kind of a...
You're right. But I mean, you're right. I could be an asshole and be like, yeah, no,
these are my kids.
This is how it's going to, how I do it. You're not dad. You're just,
the boyfriend.
As the ex and the father of the kids, in any situation, you have, again, put the ego aside. You both have to be open and willing to have that conversation. And the sooner you can do that, I mean, Dalton and I did it probably 2 months in. And when I realized that he was going to be around for a while and that he was going to be around my boys, we had a great conversation. We sat down and we do this. I think we've done it like 3 times now since he's been, it's about 2.5 years now. We do it about 3 times and it's really been on like big jumps. So like when, you know, Connor was going to go into kindergarten right before he started, we sat down, you know, starting into preschool, all these big milestones for the boys. Yeah. You know, it's like, and getting into sports, like, hey, how are we going to do this? He's like, obviously, boys want to play baseball. You were a baseball player.
Yeah, this is your department.
This is yours. Right. I'll just, you know.
I'll defer to you.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I won't try and teach him anything in that department. That's all you. But if you want to give me some things that I can say to him and keep, like, that you're working with him on, great. So, but yeah, no, that's the biggest thing is for me was in shift of perspective, was the decisions that I'm making. When my kids are older, is that something that if they were to find that out, would they be proud of? So
that's huge, man. By the way, like if you don't have kids, like that mentality can go really far too.
Absolutely.
For me, that's, dude, when I'm like at my lowest point or I just don't want to do something, I'm undisciplined, whatever. I'm just like, what would my kid think of me? Right. Like right now, what would my kid think of me?
Yeah.
I don't have them, but like
if I did, would they be proud of this decision? Right. Would they be proud of me doing this? Would they be proud of me spending my time with these people or whoever it is.
Exactly. Or, you know, I mean, we're pretty success motivated and more, I guess, more mentally aligned with where we need to go and what we're doing. But a lot of people aren't, you know, a lot of people are dealing with drugs and all these things in their home, and they don't really understand how to get out of that. And so, you know, just keeping that perspective of like, what would my kid think? Like, that goes so far. Man. That hits home every time.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So. And it just sucks for all the people out there that they don't grow up like that, where they're growing up with.
I recently came across a video on Facebook, basically where it was just like this life coach kind of talking, right? But a guy asked him, like, you know, I just had my girlfriend, like, commit suicide. And he's like, you know, what can you help me with? Like, well, you need to understand, like, she wasn't given the tools to handle her emotions properly. Does that make sense?
For sure.
No, I think Angelo was
talking
about
that. Yeah, I was going to say,
that.
We just talked about this on a couple episodes.
Dude, and you start looking at it that way. It's like, okay, well, how can I give my kids the tools to manage their emotions, understand their emotions, understand where they're at and how to get out of it, and not think there's no other way out?
Yeah.
You know, and that's typically what that type of situation goes to. And when I started looking at it that way, I was like, oh, shit, it's all perspective. Yeah. All of it.
It's all about the tools. And then it's also like implementing those tools. Like,
right.
For example, like this morning, that's why I kind of like, I've realized that I'm making some good strides like mentally lately. Like this morning I accidentally paid a bill with the wrong card and Gina called me like freaking out thinking that she got hacked. And I was like, or that she got like hacked. Like, oh, what was the amount? I was like, fuck, I paid that with the wrong card. Like, oops, we got to move some money around and make it, you know, but anyway, like, and then she got home and was still like upset and but like, I remember like there was a vivid moment where I was like, oh fuck, she's fucked. She came in like a hornet's nest, all pissed off. And I was like, wait a minute. All right. And just like, look where she's at mentally. Like, I just interrupted her workout because she got this because I fucked up. Like, I need to realize that this was my mistake. I need to like not poo poo because she came in here and ruined my morning routine that I was in the middle of or whatever. You know, like, I need to like, all right, no, this is my fuck up. I need to realize that I need to make this better. Like, because then I could have immediately matched her energy. And I was like, no, that's just going to escalate the situation and make things worse. Like, we're starting the day out. Let's not do that. Let's correct this, make it right. And, you know, move on from there. And I was like, okay, that's implementing tools, you know, right then and there, and like being aware of things instead of just immediately reacting how you want to react. Cause like,
no,
my initial reaction. Yeah. My initial reaction was like, no, 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 this is, blah, blah, blah. You know, like you're fucking my shit up, you know, like, but like, I was like, wait a minute. No,
I fucked up.
No, I fucked up. Like,
just,
no.
I mean, and that just goes back too to the like books that we've been reading.
Yes.
I mean, all the books that we talk about in reading have some form of leadership.
Self-accountability.
Yeah. And you know, putting yourself, and this can go for anything because we've talked about it so many times, but like communication, like the key point to being an effective communicator is being an effective listener and putting yourself in the person who's communicating with you. Right. In their shoes to understand what it is that they're thinking. I mean, that's the thing. And I think we've got, as a society, we have too many like, that's the biggest problem is like, especially when it comes to politics. Like, I'm not going to sit here and try and persuade somebody to think the way that I do because they don't think the way that I do.
Right.
And I don't think the way that they do. So, hey, come, let's have a conversation. I want to hear and try and understand why you think that way. I'm not going to sit here and try and change your mind. But at least help me understand why it is that you think. And right. Most of the time when you have those type of conversations and you're listening to understand instead of listening to respond, you're going to have a more effective conversation with somebody than
it's more productive.
Yeah. And for that's sure. Exactly what you did this morning. I mean, it's one of those things. And I think being, again, we mentioned earlier, putting your ego aside is that's the biggest thing is people let their pride and ego get in the way and it keeps them from being able to do and be productive in a way or have productive conversations or do things in a productive way because their pride and ego's in it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, man, because like we start kind of seeing like stoicism go out the window. Like it's starting to slowly come back, especially in the mindset space and the entrepreneurship space. But like that mentality of stoicism, that like I got it. Let's talk through it. Like to me, that is one of the things I always try to go back to because it's like, well, if I can come from every place from that place of like, hey, we'll figure this out together. Like, let's not play defense against each other. I guess just, I don't know how to explain it, but like, if you're just on offense all the time, you're not going to be worried about the little things.
Yeah.
So you're going to be like, okay, there's an issue. Let's take care of it so we can get back to it.
Yes.
And there's so many people just need that. Like they get so involved with the emotional part of it that they're not able to look out and say, okay, dude, like, just do this and not escalate, your relationship might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
And she can give you 10x if you know how to properly take care of each other, right? Like, dude, that's one big thing recently that I've come across. So it's like, dude, you just need to like chill and like,
yeah, just taking a second.
Whatever comes at you,
I think that's what it is for me, at least. At least that's where I, if it's like I initially want to respond, like if I want to, if you say something that irritates me and I initially want to respond with whatever, I just need to like take a second, think about it, and really think about, is this really what I want to say? Or is this just like my initial reaction? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, all right, let me actually process this and then respond. Like, because I feel like I need to always respond to things like fucking right off the bat. But like, if I, that's something I'm learning from doing this podcast too, is like, it's okay to pause in between saying things, absolutely. You know, sometimes it's okay to use commas in speech.
Yeah. And get your actual thoughts together before you deliver.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's, we talk about all this. So what, like, and I was going to ask, like, what are some things that you guys do? One, to work on the emotional side, like your emotional intelligence and how you react to things. What are some things that you guys do in situations, like you said, when things start getting a little, when you have somebody that's communicating you in a way that's maybe a little bit more hostile than what you're wanting? What are some things and tactics that you guys do in situations like that? And how do you prepare yourself to be ready for a situation like that?
Yeah, I'm, what I do, I mean, personally, is I just said, I'll take like second. 2 seconds. And I like, before I respond, I think like, okay, let me just try to like put myself in their shoes for 1 second. Okay. Let me think, all right, if that happened to me, how would I feel? Well, I'd be pretty pissed off too. Okay. Well, is it going to help? Is me going at them pissed off going to make them more pissed off? Like I just try to take myself, put myself in their shoes for half a second, try to understand how they're feeling before I respond. I mean, I would say that's what I do. But. Yeah.
I mean, one thing that me and my girl do is like we try not to have like those hard conversations over text or over the phone. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just wait till you get home and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
That goes a long way just because you don't know how that person's physically, like they might say something that might seem harsh, but in person they're saying it in the sweetest way. And it's just like,
sure.
Okay. Like it's just tough love, right? Like, so I think context is important. But for me, I mean, man, there's a lot to be said about just walking away for a little bit. And to me, that's what I typically need. It's just like, I don't feel like talking to you right now. Like, I just, because I know I'm going to blow up, and I just rather get my thoughts together, let my emotions flow. And when I'm ready, let's talk about it. Let's figure out what's going on, why I reacted the way I did. And dude, honestly, like the big thing that I've seen as far as a shift for my mentality has been asking myself, why? Why am I triggering that way? Like, what trauma is making me be pissed off or have that immediate reaction? And then you start looking, I was like, okay, well, I felt like this. You know, maybe when I was a kid and like that's triggering. Okay, well, why? And then you start going deeper and deeper and you start realizing, dude, like your parents are just human. You know, like they're just like, they were trying to figure it out at the same time. You know, growing up, my mom had me at 25, 3 kids, single woman at 30, like in her 30s, like it wasn't an easy task. Mm-hmm. Like, and so you start looking at that, we're like, dude, okay, let's give them some grace because like, you know, it's not perfect, you know. For my father, like his way of showing love and how he accepted love was working together. That's how he understood it. Him and his dad were always working together. Like he was working since 14. So to him, it's like, you want to get together? Like that's work. Like every time I'd go to Puerto Rico, hey, let's help me out with this. Help me with that. I'm like, I came here to vacation. I came here to put work in for you. And so, you know, things like that, like helped me understand it a little bit more. It's like their point of reference is way different than my point. And it's like, how can I improve mine so that it doesn't go on to the next generation, right? And I think everything we're talking about, I think it comes back to a certain level of accountability, right?
Oh, 100%.
Accountability, and I just think more conversations like this need to be had for people.
Well, and that's the problem, man. Like, you have so much ego in the male space that we're not able to actually have these conversations. Say, hey, dude, like, I fucked up last week saying this, this, and this. What do you recommend that would do? Am I looking that strong? What's the perspective, right? Like, and if we just talked about it, everything comes back to perspective. Well, we just have a certain, like a 2-minute conversation with a buddy that probably is a little bit further. Like you guys are a little bit further than I am as far as like, you know, manhood because of the kids, because you have all these things going on. So when I listen to you guys, I'm like, okay, like I'm just taking it in because like, these are things that are going to help me when I, you know, when the time comes. And so, yeah, dude, that's again, back to like captain and everything that I'm doing, like that's the connection. piece. That's the piece that's like, if we can just network together, we can all help each other out in every single way.
For sure.
Like financially, mentally, physically, like, let's try to figure that out so that we can create a better America. Like, that's,
yeah, we surround ourselves with those positive people. I think that's really what it comes down to, surrounding yourself with the kind of people that you want to be like.
That, and surround yourself with better people.
Yes.
Because if you surround yourself with better people and you're the worst one in the group, there's no reason to have an ego.
It's just a matter
of, you can't have an ego.
It's a matter of time before you become one of them.
Yeah.
Or you get kicked out. Like,
right.
Depending on who you are.
Right. Yeah, right.
100%.
But at the same, like I said, at the same time, you put that ego. You can't have an ego walking in to a group of people that are better than you.
No.
You have to be humble in that situation.
And there's a fine line too. Like, a lot of people will say, like, take the ego out. They think take confidence out. It's not the same thing. It's two different things. And so that mix of it is, and that, you know, understanding both is important, especially for young boys.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, they might be a little bit cocky. It's like, let's bring this cockiness down. But like, if you know you can execute, be confident about it. Like, it's okay. You know, that balance took me a while to figure out.
Balance between cocky and confident.
Oh yeah.
Well, between like ego being and humble and still being confident. Right. Okay. It's like, how can I show up humbly? I was always willing to learn. I was always trying to, you know, take in as much as possible, but I would never talk about what I can deliver on as well as I do now. Right. I never talked about, dude, I know I can execute on this, because I now have proof of it. Yeah. Right. Like, I've done a few things to be able to say, okay, like, I can actually, you know, handle those things and handle a lot of people at the same time. Like, I got it. Before, it wasn't like that. Right. It takes a little bit of time and experience to figure out that wisdom and that understanding. But, you know, I think the sooner we can implement that into our young boys, the better they're going to be.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Where I've learned that the most is with my boys in T-ball.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because, I help the last, but I'm not one of the coaches.
Right.
And I'm watching, and obviously,
you have your way.
I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, okay, that's one.
That's a way to do it.
Sure. Is it the right one? No. But hey, they're kids, so I'm not gonna sit here and try and impart
run this T-ball practice like a professional.
Exactly.
Level,
so it's like, so yeah. So at that point, it's just like, you know what? I'm just a dad here. I'm just gonna sit back. I'm gonna cheer my kids on, and I'm gonna let them.
Dude, and by the way, like, they might be like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore.
Sure.
One day, and you have to be open to that too. You know.
Oh yeah. No. I told them. Been asked this question before. I think Josh McKinney asked us this question about, you know, am I pushing my kids towards baseball? And the answer is no. You know, they want to play baseball. They also want to play hockey. They want to play football.
Yeah.
If they wanted to dance, they'd be getting in dance or gymnastics. Like, whatever they want to do, I'm going to give them the opportunity. Because, you know, that was one thing. And I've had this conversation with my dad is about my brother, because my brother was always a natural athlete. And I always had to work my ass off to be good at things. And I think that's where I was able to surpass him.
Because of work ethic.
And I was passionate about those things. My brother wasn't passionate about sports. My brother liked building things. He liked, you know, he liked painting. He liked, you know, all like stuff like that. But they didn't put him into any of those things. And he was always just, it was just easier. So Pat's playing sports. Brian's going to play sports. Well, then now he's in his following in my shadows. Yeah. And when, you know, they could have put him into some sort of carpentry something for carpentry or anything like that. And
more on the creative.
Something like that. And they could have put me in there as well. And then I would have been in his shadows.
Right.
And just because that's what he was good at. I'm not good at that, you know, right. But you know, that's the thing is like that my brother wasn't given that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's built resentment between him and I just because he's always felt like he's in my shadow. And I've never tried to put him there. I just, did what I was
the situation.
Yeah, it just did what I was doing and what I wanted and had passion for. He just didn't have passion for it. And so like now, like my brother's killing it for what he lays floors, he works, you know, and he does that stuff and he's really, really good at it. And that's awesome. I'm not really good at that stuff, you know? Nice. And so like if that was, we were going to be in that space, I'm in his shadows and I'm okay with that. I just don't think he was ever good at that, but I don't want my kids to do that. I don't want my kids to feel like they're, like, I'm not pushing both of them in one direction. I want them to do what their interests are. Like, Connor loves sports. Oliver likes sports, but he's like my brother. He's the creative type. That's where him and I are different. You know, he's my mini-me, but in that sense, like, he likes to color. He likes to draw. He likes to build things. Like, we've got these things called magnet tiles, and they're little squares and magnets. And, like, and same thing with Mel. The shit that he builds, I'm just like, wow, like that's really, really good. That's really impressive. And so, yeah, as he gets older, he want like I'm going to look for things like that. That he, I'm not going to push him to sports if that's not what he wants. So,
dude, and I think that's a misunderstanding for me. Like a lot, like even my family, they're like, you're always working. You're always like dude, you don't understand. Like, I want my kids to have every option. Like, you're interested in something,
yeah,
like
go do it.
Like, I don't know. Like, you might be the next snowboarder. Like, I don't. Who am I supposed to know? Like, but if they don't have the opportunity to even try, like, you know. And so I think, you know, that's actually a conversation I had recently with my mom. It was just like, you know, did I do well growing up? I'm like, mom, you did the best job you possibly could have. Like, you need to like let go of that shit. But was it the best possible life? No, like we had it tough. Like, it is what it is, right? So now how can I like help my actual, like my next generation, my kids, to be able to have every option possible to try anything they want to try and be able to just say, hey, let's see if you have talent in it. You might really like it. Like, you don't know. And having those opportunities is something I wish I would have.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, to me, that's always been my perspective. You know, I don't have kids now, but like, that's always the mindset of like, how can I give them everything I didn't have, you know? So I think that's important. Hell yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Well, I guess it's probably a good time for us. And, well, Gabe, is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Just thank you guys for having me on. You know, we'll be doing what we do on our end and keep coming out with great products. And, you know, any support would be really appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you use that promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off.
One last thing. I know that we've done the Tombstone game with you before.
Yeah,
has anything changed on that Tombstone since we've last talked?
It really, really has. Yeah. I think that my last trip back home really gave me a lot of perspective, you know, seeing all my friends growing up with kids and everything. I'm just like, fuck. Like, I feel like I'm a little late, you know, but, dude, what's on the Tombstone these days? I would say philanthropy work would be on there. I think, you know, entrepreneur is still going to be on there, entrepreneur, philanthropy, and, you know, overall impactful person. That's really my goal, just to be able to figure out ways to, you know, help our young generation get more resources and better network, and also create a path of like, you know, that's different from everybody else. And if I can kind of do that and say, hey, like, college doesn't have to be the only way. There's all of this, and there's all this evolution that you can do. I think that's really what it comes down to. You know, there's a quote actually that I think might be on there that I came up with a while back, and it was, imagination and creativity are the gateway to higher consciousness. And I really believe that. And to me, I think that's what life really comes down to, is being able to, you know, ascend to a level of perspective that you have complete control all the time. You know, good things, bad things, doesn't really matter. As long as like you're mentally level headed, I think that's the best place to be. And I think recently I've had to kind of go through that, where it's just like, how are you going to react? Going to go negative, or are you going to just say, hey, like, this is just part of it, and you know, good things are going to come. Like I said earlier, right, everything's yin yang. So if like there's a lot of dark, then that also means there's way more light coming, and it's just a matter of time. And so right now, that's where I'm at. Just trying to stay level headed and keep a perspective of like a little bit of time for a lot more gain is way worth it. So
awesome, man.
It's beautiful, man. Thank you.
Awesome, brother.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and thanks to everybody that paid attention to the show. Make sure you hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button for us, please, and we will see you next time.